So we're heading on Gimel Amud Aleph, the fifth line. To recap some things that we discussed yesterday, since it was a bit complicated. So we're talking about Chalitza and Yibum. What we're saying is, in our Mishnah, if one of the wives who is, if when a man dies, his wife or wives become what's called Zkuka, they become literally the word Zika or Zkuka literally means tied. So they're tied, they're attached to the brothers in the sense that she has that at least that one of them has to do either Chalitza or Yibum with one of them, as we're going to discuss later in the Masechta. If one of them does Chalitza or Yibum, then all the other ones are part, as long as there's a good Chalitza or Yibum, then all the other ones are part of. Now, what our Mishnah was saying was that you have a case where none of the wives are available for Chalitza or Yibum to one of the brothers. So therefore, if there's only one other brother, then there's no Zika at all. And if there are other brothers, then one of the other ones is going to have to do it. And we said for each one of them, so each one of them is a woman who is a relative to one of the brothers, but not to the other. So for example, here, the diagrams that I sent you a booklet of on the WhatsApp group. So you take, for example, the first diagram, Bitoy. So Shimon married two women, Rachel, who is Reuben's daughter, and Miriam, an unrelated woman. When Shimon dies, Reuben can't do Yibum or Chalitza with Rachel, she being his daughter, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara today. Therefore, he doesn't do Chalitza or Yibum with Miriam either. They are both Potter. So therefore, that's what we said in the Mishnah, that each one of these women, each one of these 15 women, is pottering herself as well as her tzara from Chalitza or Yibum, meaning with Reuben. So if there's no other brother than Reuben, no other surviving brother than Reuben, then there's no Chalitza or Yibum, there's no Zika at all, and both Rachel and Miriam can go and remarry whoever they want. If there's another brother, Levi, then Levi will have to do Yibum or Chalitza with one of them. Now, so then Sarasa, which is the bottom of that same page, diagram two, is suppose that then there was a third brother, Levi. So he did Yibum with Miriam, let's say, keeping in mind that Miriam is not at all biologically related to any of the brothers. She was just Shimon's wife. Now she's Levi's wife as a result of Yibum. Levi now is married, maybe has also been married to another woman named Esther. Now when he dies, Miriam and Esther are both up for Yibum. They both are Zokuk for Yibum. However, again, given that if the only other surviving brother is Reuben, then Miriam was the tzara of his daughter, the co-wife of his daughter when they were married to Shimon. Esther is Miriam's tzara. That's called tzara's tzara. Therefore, both of them are potter from Chalitza and Yibum, and so it keeps on going. So you have Ad Sofa Olam, it continues going even if there are 100 brothers, and it applies not only to a daughter, it applies to all the other 14 relationships that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So that's for purposes of what we're going to learn in the Gemara today. That's almost enough for us to know. The other detail we should note is that the Mishnah had said that if the original woman, the relative, in our scenario that we're just talking about, Rachel, turns out to have been an Ilonis, namely that she's infertile, she never matures physically and is never going to have children, then it's considered as though she wasn't married to Shimon at all. Well, then you have that. Then, in other words, we consider as if Shimon was married only to Miriam, and of course Miriam not being related to either Reuben or Shimon, then she needs to do Yibum or Chalitza with Reuben. But there's more details we had than that in the Mishnah, but for right now, for dealing with today's Gemara, that should be enough for now. If we need more details, then we'll discuss them. Then we'll discuss them as they come up in the Gemara. That clear? Or you need more review? Okay, so let's get started then. So we started by asking why the women in the Mishnah are listed in the order that they are. Why is the daughter mentioned first? We're going to say later in the Gemara, we're going to say on Gimel Amud Beis, that the whole concept that a tzara and a tzara's tzara and so forth is potter from Chalitza and Yibum, that whole concept we learn from a pasuk regarding a wife's sister, where the Torah tells us as long as a man's wife is alive, even if they got divorced, as long as she's alive, he's not allowed to marry her sister. And the Gemara later on is going to learn from that this concept of tzara's erva as far as Chalitza and Yibum. So why don't we list her first? Or if we say that we're going according to the ones that carry the harshest punishments, then the first one that should be listed, according to the Chachamim, would be Kalosa, the daughter-in-law, because she's the only one of the 15 where there's Skila, and in fact, she's listed at the end. And if it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, then we should be beginning with then fine. We're beginning with ones that are Srefa. The first nine that are listed in the Mishnah are Srefa. But then it should begin with the mother-in-law, which is the one where it says that most explicitly in the Torah. So we answered that because when it comes to a daughter, the whole issue of a daughter, forgetting even about regarding Yibum, just the fact that a man's not allowed to have relations with or marry his daughter is something that it doesn't say explicitly in the Pasuk. We learn it from Gzeira Shava, therefore the Tana considered it particularly precious, and he wanted to begin with that first. So that's where we're up to. Gimel Amud Aleph, fifth line. So the Gemara says, Hashta de Amrit kol milsa de asi medrasha chavivalei. Well, if you're telling me that anything that comes from a drasha, the Tana considers particularly precious, and therefore he wants to put it earlier, then listen to Achos Ishel of Asoy. Then we said before that, so Achos Isha, which is what we're learning them all from, should go last. In other words, when it comes to Achos Isha, you have something slightly more explicit in the pasuk, which we're going to learn on Omid Beis. How we know that if she's up for you, that if she's zokuk, that if she has zika for yibum, then we don't do that. The actual illustration of that was, I'm not finding it right now, but whatever, anyway. On Omid Beis, we're going to talk about that. I don't think they have an illustration for it over here. Okay. On Omid Beis, though, we're going to talk about that. We learn from Achos Ishto. We have a pasuk over there from which we learn to all the other arayas. So therefore, all the other ones should be listed first. And Achos Ishto, where Shimon was married to the sister of Reuven's wife. Actually, we don't have an illustration of it over here, but we're going to have many examples of that later on in the Masechta. So Shimon was married to a sister of Reuven's wife. And then Shimon passes away, and now Reuven can't do Yibum with this woman because she's his wife's sister, and as long as his wife is alive, he's also to have relations with this woman. And from that, we learn to all the other arayas. So we should put that one last, since that one is the one that we learn least from a limud. And the answer is, okay, Ivi de Ivi, the Isser Achvasa, because in the Mishnah, we're dealing with various Isurim that come as a result of brothership or sistership. We have Achoise Me'imei, his sister from his mother's side, Achoise Me'imei, his mother's sister, etc. So therefore, once we're mentioning those, Tana Achoise Ishtoi, so therefore it sticks in Achoise Ishtoi over there because we're putting all the cases of sistership together. Even though you're right, based on that logic, it ought to have come last. Okay, well, the Gemara asks, so what? That's not an answer. So fine, what you should do is, the Mishnah should list the various kinds of relationships, daughters and granddaughters, mothers-in-law and grandmothers-in-law, etc. Then talk about the other ones that were in the Mishnah, Eisha Sachav Shalahari Ba'ilamo, the Kalosai, and then go back and talk about the sisters, and then the wife's sister would be able to be placed last. So why are they in the order that they are? Ella, no, the answer is Tana Kurvi Noka. What it is the Tana is going according to the degrees of relationship. Degrees of relationship. In other words, in a sense, the ones that are closer to him are listed, the ones that are closer to him are listed first, and together with them are listed the ones that are similar to them. So namely, Tana Bito your Bas Bito your Bas Vnoi. First, it starts with his daughter, his daughter's daughter and his son's daughter, Dekroive Atzmoi, which they are his own relatives. So now we don't even necessarily need the answer that we said before, that the Tana particularly loved the din about the daughter because we learn it from a drosha. Now we can say, look, it makes sense. It makes most sense to begin with his own closest relatives. Well, now, Rashi points out, you can't mention his mother because the mother, actually, when you think about it, there's no way that his mother could have been married to his brother at all, because either she's his brother's mother, and of course she's an heir to him, Or if she wasn't, if his brother was only a half-brother, then she was still his father's wife, and therefore that's also one of the arayas. So therefore, actually, the next Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel, is going to list that as one of the six arayas that are of a different kind than the 15 in our Mishnah. The 15 in our Mishnah, Shimon, the brother who passed away, was able to marry them, lahalacha. Kedushin were toifas in them, to use the terminology for it that we use in halacha. The other six that are going to be mentioned on Daf Yud Gimel in the Mishnah, Kiddushin wouldn't have been toifus in them because they're, for example, his father's wife and then the various other ones that are listed over there, his mother, his father's wife, etc. So therefore the whole concept of our Mishnah of Poitras Tzarei Sehen doesn't apply over there because we can't consider that he was married to this woman at all. If Shimon had married Reuben's mother, and he was married to another woman, we would ignore the fact that he was married to Reuben's mother because that can't be considered a marriage lahalacha, therefore he's only married to the other woman. So we can't talk about mothers over here in our Mishnah. Therefore, necessarily, we have to start with his children. So therefore, his daughter and his granddaughters, the Krevei Atzmai, which are his own relatives. Then, V'aydi D'tana Shloisha Daris L'mata D'day. Now, having listed three generations down from him, Tananami, Shloisha Dirtis, Lamata Dida. Then the next logical grouping is the three that are his wife's descendants, his wife's daughter and her granddaughters. Shloisha Dirtis, by the way, means three generations. What you have three generations means if you include himself or if you include his wife. We're talking only the daughter and the granddaughter. Later on, by the way, in the second parak, we're going to talk about the concept of Shnias, where you have, aside from the 20 or so women that the Torah says are an erva, you have in addition another 20 that the Chachamim answered that are considered shnius. They're like second degree arayas. We'll talk about them in the second parak. But here we're talking on a daraisa level, so therefore it goes only as far as his wife's granddaughters. So it mentions them next. Then v'aydid tana shloisha derdus l'mata diga. Then having listed three generations down from her. Her and her daughter, well, herself, including herself, and her daughter and her granddaughter, Tana Shloisha Dirtis Lamaili Dida. Then the next thing we list is the three generations above her, or the two generations, three, including herself, meaning her mother, so Reuven's mother-in-law, and as well as his wife's two grandmothers. So we list them as well. So that so far that brings us up to nine. Then we have three groups so far. His own relatives downward, namely his daughter and his granddaughters, his wife's descendants downward, meaning her daughter and her granddaughters. Then we had three above her, her mother-in-law, her mother and her two grandmothers. The next one is we go back to his own relatives, which are not, so far we talk about relationships in descent, either downward or upward. Now, v'tana achose v'achos imo v'kroi v'atzmai. Next we talk about his own sister and his mother's sister, where those are his own relatives. But they're not relatives going downward or upward. But still, we list them next because they're the closest relative, they're the next closest relatives to him. But I read the Isser Achva, while we're on the subject of talking about sisters, Tana Achos Ishtai, at that point we put in his wife's sister, even though she's not a close relationship to him at all. But once we're mentioning sisters, we mention all the things that result from sistership. Now, then we come to the last two that are, then we come to the last two in the Mishnah. By rights, the last two we said were Eishes Achiv Shaloi Hoya Ba'ilamai, which is, we said, if a brother was born after the previous one passed away and after Yibum had been done, So if you want to look at the illustrations, you have illustration number 21 for that, Reuben was married to Esther in that diagram. He passed away. Shimon did Yibum with Esther. Shimon also has another wife, Chana. Now, after Shimon did that, Levi was born. So now we say if Shimon passes away, then Levi does not do Yibum with either one of these women, neither Esther nor Hannah, because one of them, Esther, was Eshes Achiv Shalai Hayabai Lamai. She was the wife of Reuven, where Reuven and Levi weren't in the world together. Levi was born only after Reuven passed away. And the Pasuk says about Yibum that Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdav, the Torah introduces it, that when brothers live together, implying that they both have to be living at the same time. So now, the Gemara says, so now, by right, the next one, now that we get to the end of the Mishnah, now that we get to the end of the list, we should have put, Deliktim al Kalosim Ikama Eshesachiv. By right, the next one should have been the daughter-in-law before Eshesachiv Shalohai Bailamai. Delav Mishim Kurva Hudasira. Because after all, unlike all the other ones we're talking about so far, all the other relatives that we're listing are related to him, They're related somehow to him. Meaning, in other words, what it is like this. Ashes Ochiv. Sorry, let's back up a little bit. So when you come to you have rather the 13th and 14th ones of our Mishnah. Ashes Ochiv Me'imai and Ashes Ochiv Shalachayu Bailamai. So both of those are his mother. Both those are his brother's wives. One of them is a half-brother only from his mother's side. We said Yibum only applies to brothers from the father's side. So therefore, so she's an erva to him, as the usual rule. And keep in mind, as we said yesterday, any case where there's no Yibum, then instead there's the Issur of Eishes Och, of a brother's wife, which usually is an erva. Only for purposes of Yibum is it mutter, and Yibum only applies to a brother from the father's side. So then we have, so we're saying now, when we get to the 13th and 14th ones in our list, which is the wife of his brother from his mother's side, and the wife of his brother that was not Ba'ul Lamai. So now, those are not as closely related to him as any of the other ones. Each of the other ones, you have one that is very closely related to him, and then from that, you have outgrowths of that. For example, we said, you mentioned his mother-in-law, which is his wife's mother, and from that, you come also to his grandmother's-in-law. But here, when it comes to these two cases of his brother's wives, there's no biological relationship at all. And the only thing is that they were his brother's wives. So therefore, by rights, we should have put his daughter-in-law first. So why don't we? There's a different explanation that some of the Rishonim say, the Lav Mishim Kurva Hudas Sira means Eisha Sachav Shalohai Balamai. The reason why she's Osir is because they were not Korah, because they were not close, in the sense that the new brother, Levi, was born only after Reuven passed away. Anyway, the point is, by rights, it should have been that, so why is Kalosei listed last? Ella, Ivi de Issur Achva, once we're dealing with sibling relationships, where we said the fourth group in our Mishnah, after we went through his own descendants, his wife's descendants, his wife's ancestry, and now the fourth group is his own. The fourth group involves his sister and other things involving sistership. So once we're dealing with siblingship, Tana Eishasachav Shalahir by Lamai. So therefore, then we put in over there the cases of brothers' wives, namely Eishasachav Meimai and Eishasachav Shalahir by Lamai. And then, then to round it out, we have the last one, which is his daughter-in-law, which we're saying the only reason she was left to the end is because we were dealing first with things involving where they're more closely related to him, namely his sister. And then once we talk about his sister, then we talk about the various other kinds of sistership. So it comes out, actually, the actual listing in the Mishnah comes out, then you have a bunch of ones where we're being misses based in Srefa, then a bunch of ones that are Kores, and then the last one is Skila. You can see chart 25 shows that point, but we're not putting them in terms of severity of the punishment. Otherwise Skila would go either first or second. Rather, we're going in order of types of relationships. Okay, so now the Gemara says, By the way, the diagram on the bottom over there illustrates what Rashi is saying about how it would be impossible to mention the mother, because there's no way in that diagram over there where Sarah is Reuben's mother and Miriam is Shimon's mother and they were both married to Yaakov, there's no way that either one of the brothers could ever marry one of those women, because she's either his mother or his father's wife. Okay. Anyway. So now the Gemara continues. Now let's look at another point of the language of the Mishnah. Umay iri the Tony Poitres. The Mishnah had said Chamesha Sinoshim Poitres Tzoreseyim. Now we know it's not just a matter of Ptur. It's not that you could say, well, if I want to, I could do Yibum with them. No, you can't. As we talked about yesterday, anytime you're not required to do Yibum, anytime there's no Zika, then you're not allowed to, because then the issue of Eishes Och, the issue of a brother's wife, still remains. So why are we using the expression poitras, litni oisras? What it should say is that the tzara asers, that the erva asers her tzara for yibum or for yibum. Meaning, take for example the first example of the daughter of Reuben. It's not just because we don't just say because Shimon was married to Reuben's daughter and Shimon was married to another woman. It's not just that we say that the other woman is potter from yibum. We're saying it's not allowed to. If Reuben were to do yibum with Miriam in diagram one over there, then he would be over on the issur of his brother's wife and he'd be chayav kares. So it should say oisris. It should say Rachel causes Miriam to be also. The answer is itana oistres. Yes, but if we said oistres, have amina also the yabim, you would think, okay, it means you're also to do yibum, ava michlatz chalitza. But you would still think maybe she has to do chalitza. Maybe in that scenario, Miriam has to, Miriam should actually have to do chalitza in order to be mutter to marry anybody else. So by saying poitras, clarifies that not. So Kamash Malan, therefore the word poitras tells us that not. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're listening asura lachalitz. So why not? So still, it could say the word asura, and it should say it, they're also to do chalitza. And the Gemara says, well, how could it say that? My ka'ovid. After all, what would be the problem if you did chalitza? If you go and if a random man and woman who are not brother-in-law and sister, who are not Yavam and Yavama, brother-in-law and sister-in-law, if they go and do Chalitza, nothing happens, of course. Chalitza is strictly to take away Yibum. So let's say, in our scenario, suppose that Reuven were to go and do Chalitza with Miriam, so what? They haven't done any Isser. There's no Isser involved in Miriam going and taking off Reuven's shoe in front of Beis Din, etc. So the Mishnah can't say, Os Asuris b'chalitza, because there's no Isser involved. So the Gemara says, Alom Aloy. Well, why not? Actually, you could say there is an issue involved. At least Midirabbanan. Imata oy mechiletzis misyabemis. After all, if you're going to say that she can do chalitza, people are going to think that you can do yibum as well. So maybe, in fact, we should say that there's an issue to do chalitza. So yes, you could use a loshen of issue. So the Gemara says, "Kiven demamakam mitzvah he da asira tzara." Because it's like this. Because when do we say that the reason why we use the word poitras is because only when there's a mitzvah involved, meaning the iser of eishes och, only then is it tzara aser. The shaloi b'makam mitzvah sharia. Had there not been a mitzvah, then she would have been mutter. Meaning, in other words, so let's say again. So we have the example that was saying that Shimon is married to Reuben's daughter, and then he passed away, and was saying, therefore, the daughter and her tzara are part of Mechalitza and Yibum. Let's say, for example, that Reuben had married off his daughter, Rachel, to an unrelated man. Let's say, for example, Shimon is not his brother, let's say Shimon is not his brother at all. So here we have, actually, we can look at, in the booklet over there, we can look at diagram 28. So we have, let's say, Reuben has a daughter. She married an unrelated man named Moshe. He had another wife as well. Well, if Moshe passes away, obviously Reuben can't marry Dinah. She's his daughter, but there's no reason he can't marry Miriam. She wasn't related to him at all. She was his son-in-law's other wife. So where there's no mitzvah, sharia, then the tzara is mutter. So therefore, mishum hachi tana poitres, that is why the Mishnah uses the expression poitres, because the word, if we use the word oistres, fine, we can say the problem of with using oistres is not that we would mistakenly think you're not allowed to do chalitza. Maybe, in fact, you're not allowed to do chalitza because we don't want people thinking that you can do yibum. But if it said oistres, then it would imply falsely that in that diagram over there, in diagram 28, that Miriam is also to Reuben. So by saying potris, we're saying she's potter from chalitza or yibum. Well, okay, obviously then, fine. No, she's potter in terms of, as far as Reuben is concerned, she's potter, because Reuben's not a brother of Moshe. If Moshe happens to have any other brothers, sure, she's going to be chayiv and yibum or chalitza with them, but to them, she's a different relationship. So that's why it uses the word poitras. Okay. The Gemara asks, the next point of the Mishnah, Umay Iryatoni mina chalitza mina yibum. Why does the Mishnah use the expression that they're potter from chalitza and from yibum? Why does it have to mention both? Listen mina yibum l'chode. It could just say that they're potter from yibum, and automatically we understand that if they're potter from yibum, they're potter from chalitza. And the answer is that's exactly that. Itoni mina yibum. If it said they're potter from yibum, havamina michlat chotza yabumi le miyam. Then you would say it means she still has to do chalitza. She just can't do yibum. We still wouldn't know that. We would think, in other words, that you still want to be mekayim the mitzvah in some way or other. So if you can't do yibum because she's his daughter or his daughter's tzara or whatever other relative's tzara, you would think that still she should be required to do chalitza. And that way at least we're accomplishing mitzvah yibum somehow or other. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah, by saying mina chalitza mina yibum, is clarifying that no, the general rule is, which we're going to have several times in our Masechta, kol ha'oila liyibum oila l'chalitza, any case where she would be able to go up for yibum, then she goes up for chalitza. The word oila is because the pasuk says that when yibum is not going to be done and chalitza is going to be done instead, the expression in the pasuk is but also yivinte hashara alaskenim, that the yivama goes up to the gate to the elders to the beis din over there, and she tells them that he doesn't want to marry her and we need to arrange chalitza. So therefore we use the expression oila. So anybody who's oila, anybody who is in place to do yibum, is also oila l'chalitza. V'chol she'ena oila l'yibum. But if there's no, if yibum is not applicable, ena oila l'chalitza, then chalitza isn't either. Now we're going to have throughout the Masechta, we even had at the end of our Mishnah, a case of chalitzas v'loy misyabemis, a case where a woman gets chalitza and not yibum, and that's required. But that's midrabbanan, and that's because we have a case of a suffix. Well, we had, for example, at the end of our Mishnah, we had the case where the wife who was an erva is a katana and therefore her, and is a katana where her kedushin only did rabbanon, and therefore that doesn't take away from the fact that her tzara's kedushin and that her tzara's kedushin were daraisa. So okay, so you have such things. Once you get into did rabbanons, then you have many examples. Then you have many examples of chaletzis v'lemis yabemis. But on a daraisa level, those two things are tied together. So therefore, we say, once we're saying that these women are potter from yibum, and we're going to learn on Omer days why that is so, then automatically they're potter from chalitza as well, and therefore that is why the Mishnah stresses that by saying that they're potter mina chalitza u mina yibum. Otherwise, if it only said mina yibum, you wouldn't have known that din. Which, by the way, I mean, Tosfos points out, look, I mean, the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah says that more clearly. But still, the ratio, when it's starting to tell about this din, then the Gemara figures that the Mishnah wanted, the Tana, the Mishnah wanted to put in that detail as well, rather than that we first discover it at the end of the Mishnah. Now the question is, the listening mina yibum umina chalitza. So in that case, why are we putting chalitza first? Why don't we say yibum or that they're potter from yibum or chalitza? After all, yibum is the main part of the mitzvah. If yibum is not going to be done, then you do chalitza instead. Or inami mina chalitza l'choda. Or it could just say mina chalitza. And automatically we know if she doesn't have to do chalitza, surely she doesn't have to do yibum. And the answer is Abashol. The answer is our Mishnah would be according to Abashol, Yama Mitzvah Chalitza Kedemas Mitzvah Yibum. He says that actually the Mitzvah of Chalitza is primary over the Mitzvah of Yibum. Later on, in our Masechta, on Daf Lamed Tes, we're going to talk about that Abashol says, when you think about it, we've said that Yibum is a case where something is Osir, and even an Isur Kodesh, and the Torah is telling you in this particular case that it's not only Mutter, but it's a Mitzvah. But Abashol says, look, if you're doing it for the sake of the Mitzvah, then by all means, then you have the dispensation to do that. But if you're doing it for any other reason, for example, just because you're attracted to her, then Abishol says it's almost the equivalent of having relations with an Erva. Because the fact is, she was an Erva to you until now, and then until now the brother passed away, and now Yibum comes up. So Abishol says, therefore, in later time, in our times, he says, he's saying, in our times already, Mitzvah Chalitza is Kedemes, because most people don't do it fully L'Shem Shamayim. Whether the halacha is like Abashol or like the Chachamim, by the way, is itself eventually a machlokas rishonim. And the result is Adar Yemazeh. They have different opinions about that, whether it doesn't matter what intentions you have in mind with Yibum. Either way it's Koidim, or do you say like Abashol that Mitzvah Chalitza is Koidim? You have a difference in that between Ashkenazi and Sfaradi Poskim, which is why Ashkenazim don't do Yibum. When it has to be done, we do Chalitza, whereas Sfaradim sometimes will do Yibum. By the way, I mean, Abashol agrees that we're going to learn later, we're going to learn throughout the Masechta, that the Yavam is Koina the Yavama with Bia, at least on a Daraisa level, and there's no question, even Abashol is going to agree that no matter what intentions he had in mind, as long as they had Bia, then they're married and that's that. He's just saying that it's considered like Pegea Be'erva, it's considered like you're having relations with an Erva if you're doing it not L'Shem Shemayim. Anyway, so according to Abashol, therefore, Chalitza is the primary mitzvah, and Yibum is only second best, sort of. So therefore, according to our Mishnah, goes according to him, therefore it lists Chalitza first. So that's why it lists Chalitza and then Yibum. Tosfos points out, if it only said Chalitza, we wouldn't know that point. We wouldn't know Abishol's point, because we would say, okay, it says Chalitza b'cholshek and Yibum, but you would say the reason it didn't mention Yibum only is because, like we said before, because you can't mention only Yibum, because then you would mistakenly think she does need to do Chalitza. So now that it mentions Chalitza, then it has to mention Yibum as well, and that way we see Abishol's point. The next detail we need to know, minyana de reisha l'ma'ute mai, or minyana de seifa l'ma'ute mai. The Mishnah had started by saying, chamesh yasri noshim, which implies davka 15, no more and no less. And the Mishnah had finished off, after it gave the whole list, it said, harei elu potras tzoresein, etc. These are the ones who potter their tzores, and so forth, from chalitza and yibum. So each one of those is a miut. When we say chamesh esrei, right, means as opposed to 16 or more. When it says harei elu, means only these ones that we've listed. So what are they coming to be memayim? So the answer is lema'uti. So the answer is lema'uti derav uderav asi. The answer is the Mishnah wants to be memayim two cases that are mentioned by Rav and Rav Ashi and Rav Asi later on in the Perek. So one, Rav says a din about a soita. Suppose that at the time that Reuben passed away, his wife was a soita. So let's go back, for example, to the first diagram illustrating the daughter and her tzara. So we said already that the daughter is potter and the tzara is potter as well, and tzara is tzoresein and so forth. Now let's say when Shimon passed away, Rochel was a soita. So Rav says not only she is potter from chalitza or yibum, but so is her tzara. So Rav would add that as a 16th case of our Mishnah. Rav Asti would add a case of ilonis. Suppose that Rochel was an ilonis, as we said before, she never physically matures. The word ilonis, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, comes from the word ayil, which means a ram. So a ram is a male, is an adult male sheep. So this woman, even though she's a woman, she still has the body shape of a man, kind of, in the sense. She's never going to have children, in the sense. She can never bear children just like a man can. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about some simonim of her. She doesn't have breasts, etc. So therefore, in that sense, she's almost, in that sense, even though she is female, and she does have the relevant parts, and she is a woman lahalacha, but nevertheless, in some ways, she is biologically like a male in the sense that she can't have children. Anyway, the point is, Rav Asi says, suppose that in that scenario, Rachel turned out to be an Eilonis, then, or not just turned out, actually, the Gemara points out later on Daf Yud Beis, we're going to discuss this point, that in our Mishnah, we said Shenimtzu Eilonis, where it turned out, at the time that Shimon married Rachel, he didn't know she was an Eilonis, he discovered that only later, which is possible, by the way, because keep in mind, I mean, as long as a woman is a katana, then you're not going to know whether she's going to end up being an Eilonis or not. That only is realized when she reaches the age that she should start developing physically, and she should start developing Shtei Cyrus and various other simonim in the body, and she doesn't. So now, if Shimon married her as a Tana, then he's not going to know that she's an Eilonis. He may not know, there's no way to know at the time. He only discovers later on that she's an Eilonis. So then we say that's considered mechachtos, therefore we say it's considered like she wasn't married to him. Later on Dr. Bayes, the Gemara is going to talk about Rav Asi's din. He's talking about where he knew when he married her that she's an Eilonis, and nevertheless he married her anyway. Nevertheless, Rav Asi says that since an Eilonis is never up for Chalitza or Yibum, and we know that because she can't have children, and the pasuk says that Asher Teled, that she should be able to have children, therefore Rav Asi says that she and her Tzara are both potter from Chalitza and Yibum. So now, when the Mishnah says Chamesh Esrei, and it says Harei Elu, it means only the 15 we're listing in the Mishnah, not those two. Well, the question then is, L'Rav L'Rav Asi L'Morti Mai? No, Rav and Rav Asi aren't arguing with the Mishnah, so according to them, what is the Mishnah coming to exclude? So the answer is like this. We have to consider what exactly they hold. If they each agree with each other's din, Rav had mentioned the case of Tzoras Sota, Rav Asi had mentioned the case of Tzoras Eilonis. Let's say, it could be they both agree with each other. Maybe Rav learned about Tzoras Sota from his Rebbeim, and therefore he mentioned that. He agrees about Tzoras Eilonis, but he didn't learn it from his Rebbeim, so he's not mentioning it, and vice versa. If we hold that, then it means that according to both of them, there were actually 17 cases, the 15 in our Mishnah plus those two. Well, then, we can say, then we would say that the words Chamesh Esrei Noshin and the words Harei Elu Poitras, so one of them comes to exclude Tzoras Mema'enes, namely, his brother was married to a woman who could do Miyun, and he was married to another woman as well. Now, suppose he passes away. Neither of them was related to any one of the brothers. Therefore, neither of them was related to any of the brothers. So there's not an issue over here of Chalitza or Yibum. But now, this Tana does Miyun, as we said yesterday, that she could at some point say, I don't want to be married to this guy anymore. So she does Miyun against this Yavam. So not only she doesn't marry the Yavam, neither is with Tzara. However, that whole concept is only Dirabbanan, because the whole concept of Miyun, first of all, the whole concept of Miyun is only Dirabbanan. But second of all, Rashi explains, we're going to talk about this case later in the Perek, and we're going to talk about the reason why, Bechlau, why should we say just because she did Miyun, should her Tzara not be doing Yibum, and instead she has to do Chalitza? The reason is because had this little girl, that had the Tana, been the daughter of the surviving brother, the daughter of Reuven, in our scenarios over here, then we said that the Tzara definitely couldn't do Yibum because she's the Tzara of his daughter on a Derabbanan level, because the daughter was only married on a Derabbanan level, but still, therefore, the Chachamim extended that Gzera and said that not only in that case where it's his daughter, but even where it's an unrelated woman and she did Yibum. So the Mishnah would be telling us, by saying Chamesh Esrei and by saying Harei Elu, the Mishnah is implying for us that you should know that the Tzara is not actually completely potter. She can't do Yibum Midirabanan, but she still has to do Chalitza. Because after all, on Daraisa level, there is a Zika over here. So that would be one of the Miyotim would be for that. The other one would be to be the case of the tzara of a remarried wife. So let's say, I don't know why this booklet doesn't have diagrams for these things. I mean, these things ought to be diagrammed as well, but whatever. Let's say, for example, that Shimon, the brother who had gotten the, so let's say, for example, Shimon, the brother who later on dies, he had divorced his wife. She marries somebody else. Now, the Torah tells us that if she married somebody else, she is never allowed to remarry her first husband. However, let's say that Shimon was over on that, and he went and did that. So now suppose he's also married to another woman. None of these women are related to Reuben. But one of them was remarried to Reuben to Shimon because she had previously been divorced and remarried. So therefore, she herself, you can't do Yibum, and therefore her Tzara also, you don't do Yibum, but nevertheless, the Tzara is not Potter from Chalitza. Or maybe even the woman herself who was remarried maybe even needs chalitza, whatever. One of them needs chalitza, so therefore we're coming to be mamayat that. Without them, Yotim in the Mishnah, you would have thought that just like the woman who was divorced and remarried against halacha, you would think that maybe just like she's potter, so is her tzara, we're saying that not. So that's one possibility that Rav and Rav Asi would say there are in fact 17 cases, the 15 of our Mishnah plus Tzoras Soita and Tzoras Eilonis, but the Mishnah is coming to exclude two other cases that you would have thought maybe are Potter or and that they Potter the Tzoras, and we're saying that not. One involving Miun and one involved Masa Grushasa. That's one possibility. The E lois vidalahu da'adadi. Another possibility is if we say that Rav and Rav Asi do not agree with each other's dinim. Rav holds Tzoras Soita is Potter, or also for Yibum. But he would hold that Tzoras Eilonis is Mutter, and Rav Asi would hold the other way around. Well, if that's how they hold, then we would say Chodel Mu'uti Dechavle. Then we would say one of the Mi'utim in our Mishnah comes to exclude the din that the other one had said. And the other one would be to exclude one of these cases that we just said, the Tzoras Mama Enes or the Tzoras Masu Grushase, one of those cases. So there'd be a Mi'utim in the Mishnah to tell us that doesn't apply. So the question is, will Rav or Rav Asi listen? So the question is, if Rav and Rav Asi hold that the case of Tzoras Soita and the case of the case of Tzoras Eilonis are Potter, whether we said maybe they both agree with both dinim, maybe each one holds of one, whatever the case, if they both hold of that, then listen, then our Mishnah shouldn't back list it. Why, according to them, does the Mishnah not list them? Why does the Mishnah say 17? And the answer is Lafisha Enabat Tzora. Because it's true that according to Rav and according to Rav Asi, they themselves would be Potter, and so is their Tzara. But the Tzara of the Tzara would not. Namely, we said at the beginning that if you have, let's say again, to go back to the first diagram, if, for example, we said Levi had done Yibum with Miriam, the other wife of Shimon, and he has a wife of his own, Esther. So we say that when Levi passes away, Reuben is Potter. So we say all these women are Potter from Chalitza or Yibum with Reuben, because one was the Tzara of his daughter and one was the Tzara of the Tzara of his daughter. Well, in the case of Sota and in the case of Eilonis, you can't say that because the Sota or the Eilonis are not allowed to marry any of the other brothers. Because again, whenever there's no Yibum, then there's an Issur of Eishes Och. Given that she's not able to marry the first brother because she's also to him as Eishes Och, then her Tzara was also an Eishes Och. She was a wife of a different brother. So in other words, looking in that diagram over there, looking in the Tzara Tzarasa in diagram two, for example, if Rochel was a Sota, let's say, for example, none of these women are related, but let's say Rochel was a Sota, So we're saying that fine, Rachel and Miriam, being Shimon's wives, are both potter from Chalitza or Yibum. But if Miriam then goes but if Rachel were to marry one of the other brothers, that would be an Isser in the first place. It's an Isser Karis, Kedushin aren't Tarifus, because the Isser of Eshes Och still exists. So therefore she can't potter her Tzara in the same sense that we're going to say in the next Mishnah, that for example, if one of the brothers was married to the mother of Reuven, then we wouldn't say she potters her Tzara. So therefore, so fine, the Sota and her own Sarah are potter, but you can't say the case where the Sota or the Ilonis goes and or the Tzara of them goes and marries another brother, because they're also two. There's no mitzvah of Yibum over there, and therefore it's also two. Therefore there's no such thing as Tzara by them. So therefore, even according to Rav and Ravasi, the Mishnah couldn't have listed it because it's not similar to the other ones where she could, where one of the Yavamas could have married one of the brothers, could have done Yibum with one of the brothers, and therefore we can go circulate around the brothers and end up with Tzara indefinitely. So now the Gemara says, Minohanimi. Now this whole concept that we've been talking about Tzaros being Potter from Chalitza or Yibum, how do we know all this? So the Tana Rabban, the Pasuk says, Isha Lachosa Loisika, you're not allowed to marry a woman together with her sister, Litzra, to make them Tzaros. So the simple meaning is, in other words, if you're going to have, like this, you're going to create rivalry between the two sisters. Magalis Ervasta Aleha B'chayeha. That you're not allowed to uncover her erva on her when she's alive. So therefore, in other words, as long as the first wife is alive, then you're not allowed to marry her sister. Now, what's the word aleha matam adlema? What is the word aleha adding in the pasuk? It could just say legalis ervasta b'chayel. So matam adlema. So like this, l'fi shenema yivama yavay aleha. The pasuk says that you have to do yivum. So you would think it talks about even when the wife is one of the arayas. So let's say, for example, in the case of Bitoy, maybe we would say, fine, normally, of course, a man's not allowed to have relations with his daughter, but maybe when there's Yibum involved, maybe that overrides that in the sense of Esa Deichaloisa says, we're going to talk about more in more detail later in the Gemara. So no, the answer is that no, because, and we learn that not by a Gzeira Shrub. Nemakan Aleha, Venema Lahalan Aleha. Here you have this extra word in the Pasuk Aleha. You also have by Yibum, it says Erva, it says Aleha, Yibama Yavai Aleha. So, Malahalan, the Mokam Mitzvah, so therefore it means, that just like when it comes to Yibum, we're talking about a mitzvah, Achkan, the Mokka mitzvah, the same way, by a Achos Ishto, it applies even when there's a mitzvah. So even though there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but because the Torah tells you, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister, then therefore that applies even with Yibum. That's what the word Aleha is doing over there. But Omer Achman, Aloy Sikach, the Torah is still telling you, you're not allowed to marry. And then eventually we're going to learn further down that it applies to the other Arayas as well by a Mamatsun. But first, before we get to that, so that takes care of her herself, the Amy Elohi, so that applies to her herself, so Rasa Minayid, how do we know that it also applies to her Tzara? So again, if the two brothers were married to two sisters, and the one of them in addition was also married to another woman, so we know that the first woman is potter from Chalitza and Yibum, because we just said, from the Gzeira Shava of Aleha, how do we know that her Tzara is also potter? Talmud Lema Litzra, because the pasuk says Litzra, which means to create a Tzara. So we see that it applies to the Tzara as well. The Ein Li Ela Tzarasa, well then we would only know the Tzara. Tzara Tzarasa Minayin, how do we know that it continues going down the board and applies to Tzara Tzara and so forth? Talmud Lema Litzra V'loi Lotzur. If it only meant the one Tzara, it would have said in the pasuk Lotzur, which would also be Meloshin Tzara, with one Resh. Since it says Litzra with two Reshes, then it means many tzaras. So it means we continue onward. The Ein Li Ela Achos Isha. Now, so far we would know that only applies to his wife's sister if she's up for Yibum. Again, when you have two brothers married to two sisters and one of them dies. Shara Arayas Minayin. How do we know that it applies to all the other Arayas? So Amarta, we can say we make a Mamatzinu. Ma achois isha miyuchad. Let's consider what's special about achois isha, about your wife's sister. Shehi erva. She is an erva to you. V'chayoven al zona kores v'ashid v'yosachatas. If a man has relations with his wife's sister while his wife is alive, then if he does it b'mezid, he's chayiv kores, and if he does it b'shoivid, he's chayiv achatas. V'asur liyabim. And we're saying based on the words, based on the gzeira shava from Aleha, we're saying that's also to do yivam with her. So the same way would apply to all the other arayas. Some of the arayas have misses based in, but all of them have kores. If there's no misses based in, some of them is only kores. Some of them is misses based in if there's edim vasra and kores otherwise, but all of them do involve kores, and all of them do involve that if it was done b'shregig, then there's a chata. So therefore, they're all similar in that regard. Therefore, we learn by mamatzinu from the wife's sister that all of them are equally osur to do yibum. And again, ve'en li'alahein. So that we would only know them. So they say in minai. And how do we know that it applies to their tzores as well? Amarta. So again, say mamatzinu. Ma achos ishim yuchades she erva. The wife's sister is an erva. Chayoven al zayin akores vashes gosachatas va'astur le'yavam. And she is also to the Yavam, as we just said, Vitzarosa Astura, and her Tzara is also, which we said we learned from the word Litzur, Afkol, she Erev, Chayavan, Aldona Kores, Ashur Gosahata, Astura Yavam, Tzarosa Astura, so therefore we learn that her Tzara is also Potter. And then the same thing, we learn that Tzara from the word Litzur. So, Mikan Omru Chachamim, based on this, is what the Chachamim said in our Mishnah. Chamesh Yasui Noshim, Poitra started saying, but started saying, Minachlitzu, Minayibum, Ad Seifa Olam. So it's all based on that. So again, we have a chain of things. We have a Gzeir Shava that teaches us that an Achos Ishtoi is not, you don't do Yibum with her, even though otherwise you would have thought that the mitzvah of Yibum overrides the Loiseseh. So that Zeta Shava teaches us that not. The word Litzro teaches us it also applies to the Tzara and the Tzara's Tzara. And then, by a Mamatzinu, from that, we learn that the same rules apply to all cases where the wife was an erva to the surviving brother. Continues the Braisa. Now you would think that we should also thereby include also the six arayas that are more stringent, the ones that are going to be listed later in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, that the tzores should also be also. Meaning, for example, you have, let's say, for example, the mother. So let's say, for example, that we said, suppose that Reuben's mother marries Shimon. Now, Reuben's mother is either Shimon's mother or she's Shimon's father's wife. Either way, she's an erva to Shimon. But we say in the next Mishnah that she does not pass to her tzara, meaning that if Shimon was also married to another unrelated woman, then that woman is going to need chalitza or yibum because the fact that he was married to Reuben's mother doesn't pass to her because that marriage itself was the isser. Well, if we're learning all the arayas, and all the arayas are in the same category, they all involve kores and chatas, then maybe that should apply to those as well. Shiyu tzores say masuris, and we should say their tzores are also as well. And the answer is amarta. We could say you can't say that because we have to consider another factor about achos ishtei. Ma achos ishtei miyuchedes shehi erva. It's true she's an erva, but chayavin al zayin kores vashes gosa chatas. And a person has relations with his wife's sister, the mazid, he's chayav kares, and if he doesn't b'shoy, he's chayav chatas. But here's a detail that we didn't mention before. The efshir, the nosei la'achim, she's able to marry any of the brothers. There's no isser, she's not allowed to marry Reuben because she's Reuben's wife's sister. But there's no problem with her marrying Levi, or any of the other brothers. She's not related to them except by having been their brother's wife. So va'asura la'yavam, however, she is also to the one yavam whose wife's sister she is, v'tzarasa asura, and therefore her tzara is also to him as well. So the same thing. Who are we including in this rule? Kol shi erev, chayavan azorda kares, v'ashur gosachatas, v'efshir li'nosei la'achim, where she could have married one of the brothers without there being an issur. Va'asura la'yavam, but she's also to the one yavam, tzarasa asura, then we say that her tzara is also up from Chalitza or Yibum, and therefore we said that actually on Mishnah used the word that she's potter from Chalitza or Yibum. Yotzu, Shesha, Arayas, Hamuras, Me'elu. Therefore, that excludes the six more severe Arayas that are listed in the next Mishnah. toiled the e'efshali nasal achim, none of them are validly lahalacha able to marry any of the other brothers because they're an erva to each one of them. So to begin with, when this mother, for example, when this mother of Reuben married Shimon, right then an Isser, Shimon had done an Isser by marrying her, therefore we don't say, so therefore that's not in the same category as Achos Ishtar, where Shimon to begin with could have validly married Reuben's wife's sister without being over on anything. So therefore, Hoyol be actually not Salachim, so they say in Mutaris. So therefore, Tzores HaMutar for Chalitza Uyibum, the Shein Tzora Elamei Och. Because the whole concept of Tzara is only where she was the wife of his brother. Meaning, in other words, again, usually you have the Isser of a brother's wife. So when she was the brother's wife, then you have the Isser, and then sometimes you have the mitzvah of Yibum. But when she wasn't considered his wife, when she wasn't considered his wife's brother, his brother's wife, then the whole thing doesn't apply. Well, the mother, for example, to take the first example from that Mishnah later on, Dr. Gimel, the mother was never the brother's wife in the first place because she's an erva to him. Therefore, we can't consider that she has the rule of Eishas Ach, such that her tzara should be potter from Chalitza Yibum. And the Braisa finishes off. Azhora Shamayu. Okay, so all of this tells us that you're not allowed to. So far we have, we're learning from Lois Sika, which is an issue, you're not allowed to do it. Oynesh minayin, how do we know that there's also an oynesh involved, that if a person is over on that, and he does yibum with an erva or with her tzara, how do we know that he's chayiv kares? So the answer is, omakro, because the pasuk says, ki kol asher yasa, which ish doesn't belong over here, doesn't say in the pasuk. Ki kol asher yasa, mi kol ha'tavis, remember, the pasuk says, anybody who does any one of these disgusting things, any one of the 20 or so arayas that are mentioned in the psukim over there, then he gets kares. So therefore, so we see from that once we've established that there's no chiyuv of yibum in the case of an erva or in the case of a tzoras erva or tzoras tzora and so forth, then we go back to it's the usual issue of Eishes Ach, and the pasuk summarizes over there and says that all the arayas, including Eishes Ach, are all chayiv kares. So there we go. If he is over on that, then he is chayiv kares. Okay, so thus far the Braisa, and now we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow. We'll continue analyzing this Braisa and why we even needed why we needed a limud for it. So we know that Esther Deichaloisa. We're going to start getting into the whole topic of Esther Deichaloisa and discuss it in detail and discuss how that relates to our situation over here. There is actually, before, and we'll get to that tomorrow, Beis Hashem, there is a question that Rabbi Akiva Eger brings up. That why do we need a posuk for it anyway?
Okay, come on, let's go.
Okay, it's fine. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, I mean, given that we just established that any time there's no mitzvah of Yibum, then there's an issue of Eishes Ach, well, automatically on that ground, the Tzara should be Osir, because she was, the Tzara and the Tzara and so forth should be Mutar, because after all, she was Eishes Ach. And when there's no mitzvah of Yibum, then there's an issue of Eishes Ach. So why do we even need a pasuk for it? In other words, the question is, given that, for example, in the scenario, in diagram number two, you have, for example, let's say we said Rachel is Reuben's daughter, Miriam is her tzara, Esther is the tzara of Miriam. Well, if Miriam is automatically off limits because of Litzra, then she stands in place of the erva. She herself is an erva. She was Shimon's wife, who was Reuben's brother. So why do you need an extra limud in the pasuk anyway, asked Rabbi Akiva Eger, to say that Esther would be Osir? And there's a variety of answers that Achronim give. Maybe, in fact, without the limud, we would have thought that this is another exception. Maybe it only applies when the Isser of Yibum is because of her herself, not because of her being a tzara. And there's a variety of answers that are given. But we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow the more basic thing, why we need that limud anyway. And the reason is because otherwise we would say that Esther Deichaloisa. So we'll deal with that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.